We are running half an hour behind time because our previous meeting ran over. Councillors, we're trying to get an order because most of us have been out all day and we're just trying to get things in order so we can start. Obviously, this is our meeting from NIE, and I'm going to hand over straight away to Francis, just and I'll let them introduce themselves, and then Francis will take us straight through the presentation, and then we'll open it for questions. Thank you.
Chair, can I record apologies for Kate Lavery?
Okay. Okay, Francis, over to yourself.
Hello, everyone. Francis McKillian, NIE Networks. I'm in the Distribution Service Centre Manager, responsible for all the work that goes on in the network. Just beside me here is Christine Kelly. Christine's our Customer Relations Manager for your patch, for Newry and Mourne. I'm sure some of the councillors might have been speaking to Christine in the past. So we're keen to meet with you. This is one of the things we're doing a lot ourselves, is we're getting out and about to meet our major stakeholders. And this is the things that we've been doing around a lot of the councils and also with different bodies. This is a quick one, presentation, just what we are and who we and what we do. More than welcome for questions afterwards. If we can't answer them, if we can't answer any of your questions tonight, we'll certainly take them away. We'll get you details and I assure you we'll come back to you afterwards. We'll go through this quickly. Just who we are, people still get confused. People still think you pay your electricity bill to us. People think we're the supplier, NIE Networks. You come and read our meters, so we pay your electric bill. We are not. I describe ourselves, we're like a transport company. We're a lorry. We bring electricity from all the different suppliers, generators, or even now the new renewables, anaerobic digesters, you name it. We bring out electricity, we get it to use. So what we're responsible for, we're responsible for 24/7 business. We're responsible 24/7 for all the power cuts if the electricity goes off. And a couple of councillors, please hold. We'll discuss that one lately. There's a few issues in this area. So we're responsible for that. We're also responsible for all the network maintenance and the development of the transmissions network, the 33,000 volt, 11,000 volt distribution network, and also the LV. We're slightly different from the other DNOs. Where we actually would read your meter, and that's done in Northern Ireland purely because none of the suppliers in Northern Ireland are large enough. There's so many of them now, there's so many choices, Power and I, Electricity, you name it, Budget Ireland. So we actually provide that service for them. We read all the meters for them and supply them with the readings, and then they make up the send out the bills to their customers. The big push this last number of years, I'm sure a lot of councillors involved in them, is the connecting of the renewables. This week is absolutely manic at the moment in NIE. We have 18 various plants to get connected this week, or the incentives run out at the end of this week. The rocks, etc., that you hear, the private developers for the wind turbines on our group of digesters. So we have 18, they're there, we will make it like there's 18 to be connected this week, and they have to be made this week. So that's the big thing we're doing on the renewables. And also we're still going ahead with the large wind farms. We call them the large wind farms, the ones you see up on top of the mountains, the huge wind farms. And the big thing, we're also connections, really connections business. So if you want a new supply, an alteration, or an increased load for your commercial or industrial, you'll come to NIE connections as well. That's actually opening up to competition this week. As we slide over that later, 28th of this week, that's actually the second stage of contestability, where they're bringing in independent connection providers or ICPs into the market. So I'll come up to short of that one. Basically, what we do, we have 860,000 customers, and I say we're responsible for them keep their electricity on 24/7. We have 300 major substations around the Northern Ireland network. Our network charges is then like we just the haulage company, so we get it from the power stations or the generators and we get it to your door. And our charges make up less than a quarter of your electricity bill. So your electricity bill is made up of less than a quarter of ourselves. We have approximately 1,200 employees, and you can see there's quite a substantial network of LV overhead on the ground, HV, transmission, etc. So you're up close to 50,000 kilometres of network, which helps me maintain them, looked after, and get customers on again. We're a regulated business. You probably know we're a regulator. We're just entered into RP6, regulated period 6. We go through this with a utility regulator, and some interesting conversations goes on there over the years. But we're spending about $100 million a year on the network to improve the network, make it better, make it safer, and also ensure reliability of supplies. In the area under the previous one, RP5, you probably were inundated maybe with various things happening on your network. To do all this work, sometimes it actually involves having to take customers off supply. And sometimes it's hard to explain to them exactly, with all this investment to do in your network, we want to improve it, we want to change the poles, give them more of another 30, 40 years of a lifespan, cut down your faults, etc. But to do that, unfortunately, you have to cut off the supplies. And that sometimes where Christine get involved, you know, the negotiation with customers, especially commercial, you know, customers, to see how we can get all that arranged. You can see some of the major works we've done recently in the network there, in Ranieri, Bestbrook, etc., new substations. A lot of work done down Ranieri as well for flooding. That's where one of our local incident centres are. We have a local incident centre in Ranieri and also one here in Patrick for storms and escalations, where we'll escalate those. They're normally set for mothballed, but we'll escalate them in storms. And the one in Ranieri with a lot of trouble over the years, where they were flooding, as you all know, there's any of some of the area councillors will know the issues are down in that area. We're sitting in Carnbane, so a lot of issues down there. We've done a lot of work on the new circuits there between Bishop's Court, our Glass, Derry Lacker, Marybridge. On the ground, the cables in round, removing all the old unsightly underbees in around Warren Point. We've done a lot of that, and that's an ongoing program as well for the next 6 years. And there's various new lines built there. So, there's about, you can see the amount of kilometres of line that we refurbish. That's constant every day. We have contractors and our own staff working every day. We have roughly about 120 tree cutters cutting trees every day in Northern Ireland. We're not out there to wreck the environment. As you know, we're trying to cut back on a 4-year programme underneath our conductors. So that's the type of staff we've been. And that's been a big savings over the last number of years. We've seen the biggest benefit as well is when it comes to storms. It's normally just trees down, branches down, taking our conductors down, breaking our poles. So the tree cutting program has really helped when it comes to actually the major storms. The other part of this as well has been a major meter replacement program throughout Northern Ireland. A lot of the meters and things are, you know, they're in from doomsday, so we're getting into new technology of new meters, so that's a complete new program as well, going through replacing all those. As I said, we'll hold fire there, but this meeting maybe came at the wrong time for us. With anybody who's still around the Kilkeel, Ballymartin, and Amalong areas, we have had an issue there over the last number of weeks where we had an intermittent fault on that network, and it was really difficult to find. With a lot of customers affected now, and that they were off for 20 minutes, 25 minutes at a time. We had put them back on again. But what had happened then, well, we actually installed control from circuit breakers and various substations. What happens is we would actually restore that. We can restore that remotely from our control centre in Kirkcaldy. We would close that remotely, and the circuit would hold again. So the fault would, like you say, intermittent disappear. That went on, unfortunately, but we actually used what we call, so brought one with them, they call a fault locator, an electronic device which we fit on poles. The guys will go out and fit them, and what you're actually trying to do there, you're trying to narrow down the line to a small section to allow you to try and find the fault. But I'll give you an idea of what the fault was. I'm sure you don't normally carry these in a pocket, but this is what we call a pin insulator, a pot insulator. This is just an insulator that sits on the top of the pole. You'd see it in the countryside. So you can imagine the length of the line around Kilkeel, Ballymartin, and along. You've all those sitting, you have three of those sitting on top of each pole. And what we were trying to find was a pinhole. Pinhole on the top of this, which happens when these eventually start to break down. You get a little pinhole, and then what happens is the moisture goes in. But when the moisture goes in, the line trips. When we close it again, it's probably dried out again, so the line will hold. So that pot's sitting intact. And then what actually happened the last day when we actually found the fault was the rain come on. So there's enough rain getting into the wee pot, into the wee crack, that when we actually closed in the supply again, that pot shattered. So that pot actually shattered completely, so then we could see the fault because the conductor had fell onto the crossarm. Now, we had work planned that we had with our fault locators, we had it down to a narrow section, and we'd actually planned to do work on the Thursday to patrol that line, to actually physically climb each pole to try and find this fault. But we found the fault a couple of days before it. but we went ahead and did that work as well, just to be sure that they'll be found upon. Because we had a few of the councillors, obviously, were getting a lot of calls, etc., from various, obviously, customers were upset about it, and there's a few articles in the paper with that. And just now we're on here, like, I hope everybody has got the councillor hotline number. I've got the business cards with me, so if any councillor hasn't got that hotline number, now, if you haven't, come and ask me, and I'll give you one at the end, because if you use that hotline number, what will happen was, eventually you'll get through to Christine. You'll get through to Christine, and Christine will be able to give you that updated information fairly quickly. You know, if you've got someone really putting a bit of pressure on you, if you can use the hotline, even ask to speak to Christine. Christine will give you her mobile number as well, won't you? So, you know, do that, because sometimes you'll get that information quicker, especially with commercial customers and stuff, and the fact that, you know, there's some sort of business and that really is upsetting their supplies enough. So if you either use your wee hotline number, come through, or ask to speak to Christine, we can get you that information as quick as possible and let you know exactly what we're doing. Or if you have some customers that we'll actually make contact with the customer and say, look, this is what we're doing, and, you know, we'll try and make the situation better for everyone. That's what that'll do. So the other thing which we're doing as well, that circuit is down in RP6, our regular repair 6. That line is down for refurbishment and changing poles and insulators. And actually part of the line will be actually strung out to copper, because you're getting close to the coastline there, so we're going to string a lot of that line to copper. And that's planned for RP6. So I checked that out last week, and we're going to get that forward. We're going to bring that forward. It's going out now for survey, and hopefully we'll get all that work done early next year for that circuit. Because that was quite a hassle for the customer on that line. Any questions, jump in at any time, honestly. I'm happy enough. What we're moving on to here now, really, is our storm response, how we respond in storms. In NIE, we have our emergency plans, which we all have in various, obviously, all the utility companies ourselves, NIRIF, all that, except everybody's their own emergency plans. We review it annually. And we've also got that ability to call in additional resources. We can bring in resources from the ESB, from anywhere in the mainland, UK. We've got that set up through various agreements. All our employees have a storm role. I'm not going to say in the room, but the biggest storm that hit us was Boxing Day 98. Some of you are too young to remember it. Boxing Day 98 was really a horrendous day for Northern Ireland electricity. We wiped out a lot of our lines then. So we set up then, we were forced to go for new technology, go for new SCADA devices, we call them, our electronic devices, our whole new computer system was updated, and also how we responded to storms. But that was such a large event for us, and it's been one since that, but that's one of the worst ones we have. We're quite unique. A lot of utility companies will come to us, the UK ones will come and benchmark us, the same as ourselves. NIW have been with us recently, where every one of our staff has two roles. You have two roles, you have a normal job day to day, 9 to 5, whatever it is, but when a storm kicks in, you have a storm role. And the last storm, I had like Ophelia, and we'd have our director, our finance director, answering the calls on the phone, just to show the importance of what we're here for. We're here to get people's electricity on. So you have two roles, and you're reminded and trained it every year before this winter comes in, and you're sent a letter as well to say, this is your storm role, and we expect you to respond when you get a text or an email, etc. Power check is it's a new thing we've introduced on our NIE Networks website. You're going to get a chance, free time, a cup of coffee, just click on the NIE Networks, find Power Check. If you call some customers or advise customers, you can go in there and find the fault. It'll not give you the customer's name and address or anything like that, but it'll actually break it right down to a little dot and show you the area. If there's more than 10 people off, it'll be able to say there's a fault, none alone, 200 customers off, expect to have it on in 2 hours. You'll get that sort of information by our Power Check, and we hope to actually make that better. We're going to actually improve that. Hopefully we can more work at that. Our preparation is then we do actually simulation every year, like here in Downpatrick. We'll escalate our LIC in Downpatrick, all our sort of core staff, and we'll do the same in Uri, and we have 12 in total. We'll escalate in, and we'll do like a dummy storm. We'll give them all the data and information as if they've been hit with a storm, and then they can work through that to see how their processes are and how their procedures work out. Then there's that refresher training for all your roles is every year. And then we try and sit down after every storm and sit down and see how it went, where could we improve, what sort of new technology we can use. You see our resources for the 12 local incident centres. You have about 300 staff, we have about 750 field staff which you can call on, and that includes linesmen, jointers, tree cutters, all the excavating staff, you know, Ian Stapen. We have up there, you can see Corhannon, and that involves everyone in NIE. If you don't have a role out on the field, and there's nothing else you can do in one of our instant centres or in our main instant centre in Craigavon, you will call handle. Because we need 50 call handlers on a rota, you know, about every 4 or 5 hours, we'll change those 50 people, keep changing them, because people still want to speak to someone on the phone. As I said earlier, we have other resources we call on, we have various agreements with various other DNOs, etc., with ESB. We're owned by the ESB. ESB is actually our owner, so they help us and we help them, so we can call on them and get their resources. Call on them because obviously they're the closest to us and we can get them up the road fairly quickly. But that's the same for all the GB DNOs. That last storm, we sent 22 staff to south of Wales because we could get there quicker than the ones from Scotland could get there. As a matter of putting them on the boat from Dublin, get them over and get them down. We sent them out on the Friday evening and they started working Saturday lunchtime. So, and they will do the same for us if they have the availability. So that's in agreement with them. We have other third-party contractors that we use for our overhead lines. And then we're also involved very much in the whole infrastructure provider. When the storm hits off, I'm sure some of you have been involved in it. The sort of whole liaison with all the various bodies, health boards, roads. Because when the snow hits there, we're saying, like, we have customers off in a certain area, I need that road cleared. Health service saying the same to us. Look, I have a customer in critical care, we need to get that electricity on, so then we all work together to try and see what's the best way of making that all happen. Restoring power, you see the community. What sort of frustrates people, and you'll see it here, what sort of frustrates people is because what happens is, first of all, we will concentrate on a large storm hits in, you could have maybe in Newry 15, 20, 25,000 customers off in the Newry and Moore area. But we concentrate, of course, on our high voltage transmission lines to ensure we get that security of supply back on our network. If any more faults come or another storm hits us again, you have your systems very weak. We'll then move on to the main power lines with large numbers of customers. We'll concentrate on those. And then, as you can see, it whittles on right down to your down to individual houses. Because you can see in the picture, that's a broken pole. So that's a broken pole. Guys out trying to fix the transmission line. They're working on transmission lines to make sure security is supply. But see, that very first one, then you have a crew of guys there. You have an excavator. You'll have lorries there. You'll have materials delivered. And you'll have maybe 5 men there to change that pole. That's okay. You may be getting 1,000 customers on. But if you're right down to here, that's a broken pole outside some farmhouse. So you have the same men and same materials and same resources required to get one person on. So you can see why a lot of people, get frustrated because they're saying, why do you take so long to get me on? Why do you take so long to get me on? But what the problem is, we're trying to concentrate on large numbers of customers, get them on quickly, and then you're right down to securing your network, getting your large numbers on, and you're down, unfortunately, to a situation like this where you're only trying to get one house on. But that number of resources that you need to make that happen. A couple of good events, 17, and even January 18. And I don't know what Newry and Mourne have done, but you've been hit a lot of storms recently. The storms are really the ones that we've noticed recently. North Coast used to always get it first. Used to always come over the Lingall Mountains. Miss out Derry, Londonderry, then bang, straight into Coleraine, Ballymena, Ballyclare. Our North Coast used to always get the worst. But the last storms we have had, now the big ones, Doris, Ophelia, Eleanor, it's this coastline here has got it. The East Coast has really got a batter in the last 3 major storms, and right up and down Patrick as well. Those have been the big ones. You can see the numbers there of Ophelia, 15,000 customers off. My second role, I'm a duty incident manager. I've actually 3 roles, and duty incident manager as well. I'm on 1 and 6 along with the other guys. So we're on 24/7, 1 and 6, where we would be responsible for all major issues on the network. And we make the call, and when we escalate for storms, that day it was someone else was on, but I was posted down by the boss, Gordon Murray. Go and help out in Newry. It was quite ironic because I was driving through Tonagee and it was empty, ghost town. Everybody was empty, everybody's closed up, locked up, shops up, everybody heading home. When our staff all said, but why are we going into the storm? And everybody else is going home. But that's what you have to do. Like. So, Ophelia was quite severe around Newry, and even at the end of the start of 18 there as well for Storm Eleanor. As I said earlier, we're a regulated business. We can't charge you what we want. We can't do what we want. We have to go back to the regular every year and into negotiations of what we're going to do in our investment plan for the next 6 years. And that's just been sorted out there in 1st of October, so we're now into the regular year period, RP6. In this RP6, we've told the regulator, this is what we'll do, this is what we'll deliver. 145,000 outputs, that's like changing our defective switch gear, working on various circuits, right down to LV, etc. We're going to change. At the moment, we guarantee that we'll have your electricity on in 24 hours. At the moment, we have an agreement with the regulator. If you go off supply, we will have you on in 24 hours. And the only time that kicks in where we get an exemption is on a major storm, like a failure or something, when it's just not possible. But at the moment, our agreement is that you will be on in 24 hours. We actually want 93% of our customers restored in 3 hours, and that's what we push our staff towards at the moment. I'll leave the competition connections on. We've been tasked in to get £55 million in efficiency savings, and that comes through various things. We're going through actually our voluntary severance at the moment. We're actually reducing our staff numbers. We're also looking at contracts. We have a lot of very vital contracts come up for renewal this year and the start of next year. So we're working hard with procurement to see how we can best procure the best contract that suits us to get our savings online. 250,000 meters, that's a lot of doors to knock. There's a lot of people to arrange to say we're going to change your meters, that you just can't rock up and just like cold call a lot of these people. You have to arrange a lot of people work out, etc. We're very careful of vulnerable customers, etc., how we arrange all that, and that's how we arrange that. ESQCR, that's our safety standards. That's all around safety of where poles are. There's poles located in schools, over football pitches, all that type of stuff. So there's a whole policy around there where this is legislation. We have to comply with it. We have no issue, no other, we just have to do it. So we have to spend £60 million on that ESQCR safety policy. In the top right corner, just in saying, is competition connections come in. I assume you have all heard of competition connections coming in, or maybe it's... No. Got this first meeting, must have been sore on you that meeting before me, must have been.
We're not allowed to sit here.
Oh, sorry, apologies, sorry. I'm used to question and answer, sorry, apologies. Competition connections, what that is, last year we opened up competition connections. This was an independent connection provider. If you're a customer, you can go to someone else to connect your electricity. They can give you a quotation. Last year, we opened up the competition connections, and that is phase one. That is for greater than 5 megawatts. Now, that's a huge load, because very few of our industries would use 5 megawatts. But that is really, that first stage was to set it up for all the large wind farms. Phase two, which goes live now on the 28th, there's been a lot of work been going on this last year or more to open up that market. And that market's now open to the customer. When they make an application to NIE, they can also, there's what they call contestable work and non-contestable work. NIE will still have to make that final connection onto the live network, where we just have to be careful we don't let customers or other contractors do that. So it's now open on the 28th for any new supplies for domestic houses, commercial, industrial, or any increased load for commercial, industrial, or even domestic, if you're doing something in your domestic house. That's now open to competition. Currently at the moment, there's 15 ICPs which have registered in Northern Ireland to carry out this work. Pretty easy for them, because most of them were UK-based, and for them to become an ICP, you must be Lloyds registered. It's not just a matter of myself and Christine setting up a little business in Dungannon and just deciding that you're going to go out and start connecting customers. So you must be, a reputable company, you must have history of this, you must have the skills, the abilities, and you must be registered by Lloyds to allow you to do that. At the moment, there's 15, and we reckon there will be certainly more within the next few weeks. So that gives that the opportunity for the customer. They can then decide to get a price from NIE. What, how that will work is through this a quote system. When you ask NIE now for a quotation for a new supply to your house, and on a long, for example, you'll get a quotation from NIE, and the quote will say, X is for NIE to give you all do the work for you. The second part of that quote will have two quotes on it. The first quote is for NIE to do everything, and the second part quote from NIE will be just for NIE to do the contestable bit only, is where we will do the connection to the network, and that allows you to go and check with your independent connection provider and see if you want them to do that work for you. That's purely a choice for the customer. A customer's now got the choice to go with an ICP or go with NIE. All the information on the NIE networks have been a lot of work. If any of your customers or any of your any person that's from the public asks you any question at all, there's a great Q&A on our website, NIE Networks. Click on the Connections tab, and there's lots of fantastic information there, right down to how you find out who the ICPs are. So, just to sort of finish up on the whole thing, NIE Networks, as you can see, we're working for today's customer, and we're trying to plan for tomorrow, and that's where the whole RP6 of how we're going to secure your supplies and make us ready for more connections. There's more to come, because obviously the whole technology has changed from the wind farms. We've had wind farms on our RP digesters, with the 250 wind turbines, kilowatts, and then next big thing, you know, solar is huge in Northern Ireland, and what's the next thing? Next thing they're talking about is solar battery storage, all that's to come. And that technology will be coming, not you know, to Europe, never mind Northern Ireland. For example, the windy days in Northern Ireland now, if you're a windy day in Northern Ireland, but 67% of the electricity in Northern Ireland is now provided from renewables, which is fantastic. You know, we're well ahead of most countries in our whole renewables policies. So on a really windy day, 67% is renewables. Wish I owned a couple of them, but I don't. We're 24/7 business. We're there 365 days, and our employees are working in an area. We have a fault and emergency teams here in Downpatrick, and we have fault and emergency teams in Newry, and them staff, that's all they do. They're dedicated for fault and emergencies during the day. And I say, please, we're very keen. We're trying to get keen with some of the councillors, MPs, MLAs. They're all very active on Twitter. Some may be better than others, but we're very keen that you follow us, because sometimes we tweet out information. If you have loads of followers, then you'll see that information as well. So we're very keen to know that everyone would to click onto Twitter, onto Facebook, because the more information we can get out like that sometimes is fantastic for our customers to get that information, and we're also getting a lot of direct messages in as well through Facebook and Twitter. Just the council hotline, there you have it, or I can definitely certainly give you a little card here. And I think most people have asked you, if you just please be careful that if you just keep it for yourselves, you know, don't be giving out to your friends or your relations or etc. Because it means when it comes to a storm, if you see this room, you can imagine that's like throughout Northern Ireland, if it's a widespread fault, a storm comes, so we have to try and answer those calls. When you ring, sometimes you have to wait. That's slightly different. You know, that call rings, and we will get to it. Get that. So, the cards here for you, and certainly you know, make sure and use it. All right.
Okay, thank you, Francis. Kerry, you want to come in with a comment?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Just a query on I raised before, which is at a previous presentation, in relation to the Colville Cross Midland area, where there had been a great interest in renewable energies. And the wind and panels and that, and there was a number of them installed, and then the provider that said that the network, they couldn't provide any more of them because the network wasn't suitable to take the power from them, which is really disappointing. That you know there is this great talk of renewable energy, yet and all the providers and the network we have there won't take this, you know. And there has been nothing really done in between that to improve that, because I had one farmer last week who contacted me to say that he had actually a deposit paid to a provider, and they gave him the deposit back saying that the NIE wouldn't take any more onto the lines because it wasn't suitable for it. And that entire area was quite hooked on with the panels and all of that, and all of that has come to a standstill because we have an inadequate service that's not fit to take this. So that's really disappointing that nothing has been done to improve that since. And the other thing, I know that you mentioned the regulator, but connection fees for new houses, new properties, like is colossal money from what they were. And I understand like that the copper, all of those things had risen vastly over the number of years. But even people that had got quotes and have gone outside the 90 days and that and come back in the quote much higher, where very little has changed. And I know you say that it's regulated and that, but like there was even people before they would build would get a rough idea of what it would cost, and then maybe when over a year and a half of taking the building out, when the fees maybe would have doubled of that. But it's class of money. Like there was connection fees in 10 and 15 and 25,000, some as far as 35,000. you know, which is colossal. And I know you did talk about there being independent, and I try to be a quote from NIE, and I think it's great that there is some competition in that, because it is badly needed. Like, in fairness, you said it all at your own foot, and people honestly talk to have been looked after.
Well, there's a couple of points there I'll raise. Let's go with the first one. First of all, as I said earlier, you know, about 67% of our electricity in Northern Ireland at the moment, there in the windy days, currently wind. But what do you do with that electricity at night, evening? What do you do with it? So if you don't have that use for it, this is where the North-South interconnector is one of those things that's so important to the network. Two things the North-South thought you want to do is going to be security of supplies, because there's a whole thing going on around the Kilroot by Longford and the age of our power stations. So North-South interconnector is very important, vital for security of supplies for Northern Ireland going forward from 2019, 2020. Like, you know, it's just not as tight at the moment for our electricity transmission lines. So the big problem we have in a lot of our rural areas, prime from Dungannon as well, I'd say that, yeah, you have the hills around Primary and Carrickmore and up towards Galway, etc. Those networks, when they were built in the 60s, they were built to bring an electricity supply to the rural farms. And that rural farm then was a guy with maybe two or three cows, a wee 3-horsepower motor to run and to milk a few cows. And all of a sudden the networks grew. We have put in, and this is our second time under the regulator, we have asked for allowance to improve our rural networks. One, the main one for us, is for security of supplies, because when the snow comes, those lines are falling down now because of the age of them. They're 25 mil aluminium conductor, like your finger, your wee finger. That's what they are. So this is one of the constraints. But the other problem as well, you can't keep putting renewables on. First of all, our system can't take it. A lot of our substations now are actually being backfed through. Our lines were designed, our systems were designed that you export from your power stations out to all our substations, out to all our lines, out to all your customers. Now with all those wind farms and anaerobic digesters, we're actually pushing all the electricity back the other way from the distribution network up onto our transmission network. So this is why, you know, there's nowhere for it to go. Now, I take your point exactly. You know, there definitely needs to be more work done on how we're going to get more electricity connected or more renewables connected. But if you're at 67%, I guess a lot of, you still need power stations because the wind doesn't blow. Well, you need power stations then to get the electricity, or you need an off-south in the connector, or the Moyle in the connector. Moyle is very important as well. Those two underground cables from Scotland. And at the moment, currently what happens is we're exporting. We're exporting out through the Moyle, we're exporting to Scotland, and we're exporting to the line through Crossmaglen. The 275 line from down to Maynooth, it comes from Tandaglee, our substation at Tandaglee. We're actually now most of the time exporting. We're not actually relying on them to give us electricity anymore. We're giving them ours, which is all down. You can see the whole negotiations on there, way to the root. And by Longford are getting a bit nervous, their AAS, because that was all out for a procurement contract, and they had to actually bid for that electricity, and that's why there's a bit going on there. Your second point on the cost of electricity, yes, it certainly is expensive. And a lot of customers have been caught out recently, because after the building boom, the whole burst there, what happened was those sites suddenly starting to appear in the countryside, in the rural countryside, very cheap, or they seem very reasonable. But when you actually went and looked for water, water is expensive as well. I'm sure some of your customers or some of your people in the countryside complain of the price of water. If you need mains that water put into it, it's expensive. But certainly, now that came about from a couple of angles. The regulator stepped in as well a number of years ago. Every time you apply for a new supply or an increased load in Northern Ireland, for large commercial companies, you only paid 60% of that. There's a 40% allowance. We call it a regulated asset base, a RAB. We were allowed to give that customer 40% discount. But how that was actually covered was that 40% was actually added on to everybody's electricity bill in Northern Ireland. That was spread out across everywhere in Northern Ireland. That was applied to everybody's electricity bill. So when the regulator took control, we became a regulated business, the regulator, they're out to make the electricity as cheap for every customer. And that's their main focus, is to get the electricity at the best price that they can for the customer. So that's the first thing they did away with. They said, if you're building a lovely big house in Manalong, why should somebody sitting in the middle of Belfast have to pay to put your to pay against a 40% allowance for you to get your electricity there? So that was the first thing they actually scrapped that, first of all. So that was a huge jump. Obviously, it was a huge jump. That's when that came. And we're still working through this. Some of those still work through those. And you're quite right, the regular then said, your electricity prices are expensive for new supplies and increased loads, so this is why they've introduced this competition. So start off very first of all, it started off with competition in generation, The generators were all sold off, used to be owned by NIE. And they started off then with the suppliers, the choice of suppliers, and now they've given you a choice of connection providers. And that's where you can go out and negotiate your best price for those.
Okay. Mark, you want to come in with a question?
Yeah, you've touched on it there in your first answer there. It's really around the security supply with Lolly, Longford and Kilroot, and the fact that the wind generally doesn't blow at peak times when we need all our power. So, you know, is there any other measures that are being taken to ensure that we have the power we need, or are we relying solely on the interconnector to Scotland until the southern one gets up and going?
That's actually controlled. Our transmission system's controlled by Sony, which is Sony and Airgrid. They work very closely together. The transmission network is actually run as an all-Ireland market. An all-Ireland transmission system. I'm just coming from Sony there today. So this is where the whole electric Kilroot, they're actually saying at the moment they're going to close down. Well, that can't happen because they have a contract in with NIE or in with transmission providers. So that's where that's all negotiated earlier on. They still need to have the gas and the coal and the oil to allow to have that facilities. They also build in as well the availability of the cables, the both cables, because one of the cables was faulty there for a while, and they've got it fixed. So they have to build in as well what's the ability to run Northern Ireland. If you had lost either the 275 from Tandragee down through Crossmaglen to Kilroot, or down to Maynooth, or them as well, Mark. So no, it's not left that you have to have a contingency built in and a safety blanket built in that you're not relying purely on wind. Obviously, what they do is if the wind's available, it's a cheaper resource for them to buy to get that existing cheaper for the customer in Northern Ireland. And that's what that whole bidding was about, really. But so, no, it's not as tight as everybody's thinking at the moment. Northern Ireland's not at risk. But the thing would be, north-south interconnector would improve that security going forward. But the big thing for it, I think it'll open up more renewable opportunities for people. Speaking of different ones in the UK, I think the big thing is going to be battery storage. Even down to houses, a lot of the social housing, the Apex of this world, they're now looking at solar panels on the roof with battery storage in the house to allow those customers then to benefit at 6 o'clock in the evening or at night, that they can run certain amount of their dishwashers or wash machines, etc., using them from that. So I think battery is going to be the next big thing for us personally, storage.
Okay, thanks
very much for that. If you can excuse me, I have a concert to go to.
Yeah, okay. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. You made a comment about you had an agreement with the regulator to have electricity supply that's cut off back on within 24 hours, and I suppose that's where just service are cut off at storms or something like that. See, if you're talking about alterations to lines, and I'm currently going through a very frustrating process where NIE had come out to my business 11 days ago and removed the supply from the business. Now they stated health and safety, but the process we're going through is horrendous. I mean, not even past the first stage, don't know whether it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks. But I think from the initial inspection, that you had somebody going around, and I think from what you said earlier on about the competition connections, I fear that might have something to do with it. And, if you had somebody going around, checking the poles to see if the poles were, safe or whatever. And within that period, I seen the person who sat up around our area. 2 weeks after that period, NIE come and cut the supply off to my business on the Cairn Road and Crossmaglen. Now, the frustrating thing is, if there was a problem with health and safety on a secondary pole, and it's there 30 years, it's frustrating that the first person who inspected didn't notify us, so we could have got something done. But I mean, I am going from pillar to post to try and get something done, and it's 11 days down, could be weeks. And the boardman of business with no electricity, it's ridiculous. The alterations, 4 alterations, because they've taken it away, what is the time frame? Because I can't get an answer when I'm ringing up on the alterations. And when you send out a quote, when it goes through the planning stage and all that, will the quote be for other competitors as well on that? And how fast? Because I know on your website you say you don't want businesses being out with no supply for any length of time. But believe me, if a 20 phone calls in the last week, nobody can give me a time frame on this.
Thank Christine, maybe some information, but maybe other than just talking about your personal situation, but in the case I got, if someone's been told the line, they'll only take a supply off if it's a danger, if it's something dangerous or unsafe, either unsafe for yourself or your workers or the general public. So now we don't go around, we can't go around cutting people's electricity off. Now, Christine probably, she might have more information, but the other thing about the NIE Connections business, we're very small now, like we've shrunk them. We've actually made them centralised in Channel Road, and then with teams are sitting in Craigavon, and you're probably dealing with someone at Craigavon, is it? Or
Craigavon, yeah.
Yeah. So those, you know, we can get you the right person. I can get you straight to the right person, because you shouldn't be going around and around and around about it, because there's very few people that you need to really talk to. But maybe Christine knows a bit of information about that one personally.
Well, Pete, we're currently trying to improve the process for disconnection and reconnection. And there's numerous reasons why your supply would be disconnected, Francis has said, for health and safety reasons. Now, not knowing the exact details of your case, I can't comment. But what I will say, if you get the opportunity to give me the details of your address and where the supply is disconnected, and I'll be able to trace that back and find out exactly what has happened and, you know, what has led up to that event. Now, as I said, we're trying to improve that process. We've identified areas where it could be, you know, fast-tracked even. And, you know, supplies are disconnected for various reasons. It could be at the instigation of a supplier as well, you know, and we just go and disconnect it. It's an instruction from a supplier, but you're saying in this case it's health and safety. Right. Right. Well, yeah. Well, if you give me the details, and I'll be able to follow that back and find out exactly what has happened there and hopefully get that, you know, speeded up for you.
No, not really. What's going out for competition in the minute is for any new supplies, commercial, domestic, or increased load schools as well. You know, those as well.
Okay, Councillor Carr, would you like to come in with your comment?
Thank you, Chair. And just thanks very much for the presentation. I was hoping maybe it could be made available to councillors at some stage because there was some interest in reading on it.
It's all in the pad already, Michael.
Oh, is it? Right, I didn't bring it with me because it wasn't there. You mentioned about the NIE, the less than 25% of the bill. That leaves an awful lot for Power NI, but I was surprised if... Not Power NI. I was surprised it was so low, given, you know, that most of the... quite a lot of the work, all the maintenance work and so on, is carried out by yourselves and all that storm damage and... on the road all the time with the couriers and the whole lot. It seemed quite a low figure of what the NIE were getting out from my bill. And just the other thing that you mentioned was about the underground cabling in Warren Point. I don't mean to be parochial, but I do remember some work being done with regards to the wastewater plant down on Newry Street. Is there more to be done? You said some of this is going over a 6-year period. Is there more underground work planned for Warren Point? That's basically the two questions. Yeah.
Yes, there's a couple of points. The last one I just said about, I don't have the full plan with me. I tend to, after those faults we had in Annalong, etc., I try to find out where that was. Was that started even on our plans for the next 6 years? And it was. So, because those customers that, you know, they didn't get a great service there for about 3 weeks, so we'll push that forward, then we're going to get it done at the start of the year. I'll talk to him about, I don't know exactly what the plans are for what you're referring to there. I know there's been a lot of work done near regarding, you know, the flood problems there. Even our own substation, where our own LIC is there in Cairn Bain, we actually had a physically raise everything up. You know, we had a physically raise two switch houses, 33,000 volt switch house, 11 kV, and all our structures, including even our porta cabin, where we work out of in a storm. Or modular building, as the boss makes us call it, and another call for the cabin. The air wall had to be raised up, you know, about 4 or 5 foot, because there is such an issue there with the river and the canal, you know, the flood over soil. But if you want me, you know, if you contact me directly, or we can start up, if you have a specific area that you think that needs something done, I can find out for you very quickly. Is it in that plan for the next 6 years? But I just wonder about plan with me.
Last week.
In Warren Point?
Yes.
Out the Warren Point Road there?
I'm not sure where it was. No. I didn't get the follow-up. I didn't get the feedback.
Yeah.
But the whole time was off.
Yeah, that part of the day, the time was off, yeah.
And the server load, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But the certainly, if any councillors in any areas that they have a high concern, or is there something that they think that we should be thinking about, or if there's areas that you're getting complaints from, certainly come back to us, and we can find out, is that on the plan? And if not, should we be looking to get it on the plan? Because that some of that work we can see if it's something urgent. But back to the comment earlier, like we have guys out patrolling and ladies patrolling our circus every day, and that's two things: to find out if there's a problem in the circus, if there's any faults or anything that hasn't been reported by customers or haven't seen it. But the other thing what they're doing, they're patrolling circus in preparation for maintenance come up, and that's what they do that as well. Like, so there's two things to do. They do part of the whole maintenance, and then also trying to find out if there's actually something dangerous out there. Broken stays is a normal thing you'd find, kettle or stuff, or horse or stuff rubbing, breaking stays and things like that. So that's a big thing that they're out looking for as well.
Okay, Michael. Brian?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say thanks very much for the presentation. It was all very interesting. I happen to be one of the characters from the Allen Billy Martin Kilkeith area. No, I didn't find the blackouts to be very intrusive. They didn't last very long, 15, 20 minutes, except for the one day he's had to take off or to do the repairs. But I know there's another couple of councillors from my area who are very grateful for those repairs, because there was a lot of complaints about missing Jeremy Kev.
I think you're making a reference to maybe someone who watches with a daytime TV. But no, then again, as I said at the very start, that was quite unusual, that fault, to try and locate that. And we knew ourselves, that we're with all these little fault locators fit on the circuit, and we were getting it. And also, obviously there was a few councillors where we're getting a fair bit of hassle, and they were had to go out into local papers, etc. So that's what I'm saying, if you want that cutting-edge information, if you want that for any of your consistency at all. Like, if you come through to Christine or come through to your hotline, because you come through the hotline, that'll be recorded, registered, and then someone in this case would be Christine will go back to you. So if you have, and then like it happens at all, definitely come through to us, because a lot of times then, if you're dealing with a complaint, then we can add some value in as well, and then hopefully maybe they'll stop ringing you. They'll ring us then, get them through to us. But certainly if you're under any, don't be concerned at all using your card, or contact Christine directly on her email or her phone number, certainly not.
Okay, and just for the record, none of my colleagues have either been or watched Jeremy Kyle. Garth, yourself. Yes,
thank you, Chair. And thanks, Francis and Christine, for the presentation. I just noted a couple of points. I noted fairly recently in the press your plan to shed about just up to 90 jobs. I'm just wondering if that will have any impact on the service delivery. Also, you mentioned, Francis, about independent connection providers. It was pointed out to me recently about a poor quality on job where actually insulating tape was used, which obviously is a no-no, I'm sure. Certainly not the standard that we would expect from NIE. So it's just to ensure that quality standards are maintained, especially as maybe as independent providers do more and more work. And then I suppose finally energy storage. I mean, I think that's the thing of the future. I'm just wondering what you're doing in partnership there with other providers to provide energy storage for the to meet the needs of the future. Yeah.
Well, the thing around the interconnection providers, this is why they have to be Lloyds registered as well. So they have to be, accredited companies. And the thing that's very sad, most of them all are, they all are, because this is something they've been doing in the UK. We're about 10 years behind, so we're really catch up now. We're catching up with them with what they've been doing. So connection providers were seen, or first new appeared 10 years ago. And very much we see them, the interconnection providers, we will, at the start, because we don't know them, exactly what your concerns are, we have those concerns as well. So we're actually stepping up, there will be contract monitors who will be monitoring their, how they dig the tracks, how they lay our cables, and then the standard of the work. Because what happens is, as soon as that, this whole testing and commissioning, and then, but as soon as that goes live, it's now ours, it's now NIE's property, it's part of our assets. So if you're a customer and you go with an ICP, you get connected tomorrow with the ICP. If it fails supply tomorrow night, you don't go back to the ICP, you come to us. So it's like us doing the work for that customer. So as soon as that goes live, we have actually gone through all our commissioning tests and accepted that network, and then we finally connect it. So if we connect it and it goes faulty the next day, next week, next year, that's our responsibility. And back to the earlier question, the gentleman says, well, like the other thing with electricity supply, like, as soon as you get it connected, that's yours for life. You know, the transformer goes faulty in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Pole falls down, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. We put it back up again, free of charge to the customer. So no, the ICP is certainly a concern, and that's something we're working closely. And we're not doing this in isolation. We've done all the benchmarking with all the DNOs in England. We've been over with them in Scotland. Scottish Power is very similar, because we're trying to pick networks that are similar to ourselves, a lot of overhead. So we're trying to pick a sort of similar network. So we've been doing a lot of benchmarking with them, like, so to make sure the ICPs will build it correctly. Storage, yes, we have our sort of... We use our graduates come out and some of our innovation people, and we're working very closely with all the DNOs, and we're a member of the Electricity Association, and we're very close, and that's where we get kept up to speed with all the new technology around, which you said, like battery storage is going to be a big thing, certainly is, and that's where we're getting that. The Germans are nearly there. They're getting their batteries there. They're getting better. They seem to be the leaders, the world leaders of the battery storage. So that's certainly where we keep ourselves up. Even the whole thing about smart metering is introduced in the UK, where you can actually sit and see exactly, you know, what your usage is. So we're keeping up to that. We have various schemes that are going on at the moment around Korea and various places regarding smart metering, and even the meters are smart to tell us that your electricity is off. We want to get the day is, you know, that we know your electricity is off probably before you do. And that's what that whole smart technology can do for us. And the first one was?
Is it job losses?
Oh, yes, currently, yes. We're going through what they call a voluntary scheme at the moment. And this is part of our RP6, our efficiency statements. And what we're doing at the moment, there's a lot of work done to actually look through the business and look at job roles. So we're actually looking at job roles, what roles we think that we can amalgamate, and what roles actually has changed, you know, as we've, you know, pushing our efficiencies. What roles actually do we think we actually don't require anymore? So that's why we've identified 90. There's 90 roles has been identified, not people, and there's 90 people, you know, was these job roles have been identified. To give you an idea, it's a voluntary scheme, and there's 174 people put their hands up. So out of that, you know, so we're just going through that process at the moment now. It'll be the next few weeks where we're working our way through that with the unions and negotiations with the various unions. Unite and Prospects are a big union, the electricity industry. So we're going through that whole process at the moment. That, you know, that it'll work through fine for everyone through the various packages.
Okay, Harry.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And thank you, Christine and Francis. Just wondering what your plans are going forward for wind farms and renewables. You're obviously going to have some plans for updating your cables and lines and stuff. Are you working on that at the moment? Thank you.
Harry, the target for renewables was for 2020, and we are almost there. We're almost there, so there's no real need or requirement to push that much further. Again, back to the very start, was for us to do any more investment in our network to change a lot of our conductors. It's all down to getting the conductors bigger, larger conductors, to get that supply of electricity back from the wind farms back to our main substations. Upgrades out of our substations, new technology needed for that. So we're getting close to the stage where we'll not need much more. You're up to 67%. You know, you're thereabouts. I can't see the regulator is not going to put much more bill or more costs onto the customer. If they can get the technology up to really where they are, that's 70%, 75%. Well, that's where I think, Harry, I don't think it'll go much further, not to be honest.
And Declan.
Okay, thanks, Francis and Christine, again for your presentation. Some interesting facts. I didn't realise that the connections was out to competition. Do I take it from that then that, you know, some of the situations where, you know, especially in remote areas, that you can get a connection then to a remote farmhouse or a potential new replacement dwelling, for example, a mile up a lane, that previously was totally prohibitive in terms of the cost for that? Do you think that, have you any examples of that coming well down and by how much? And the other thing is that Well, two things. Just that sometimes when you ring up that line, whoever operates it, I presume they know that's just the councillor line. But they seem to put you through a rigmarole of questions as if you were a consumer trying to figure out where you are and what your problem is. And really, they don't seem to recognise that you're ringing on behalf of constituents, not about yourself. That's the only negative bit about it. Oh, and that, the follow-up and all is very good. There's a couple of things. And the other point is, again, as a landowner myself, I must say your staff or else your operators who come out and trim the trees are the most courteous group of people who handle themselves extremely well among the farming community. I must pay tribute to that. You know, really are very conscious of the people's property and how they deal with the customer, and they couldn't fault them one iota, and I heard nobody saying that as well.
So we'll get too big
hopefully get it. Hopefully get it.
You're looking cheap to buy that out for them.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you very much. No, we've worked very hard with our tree cutters because it can be a emotive subject, and then we've tried different things. We've tried a flail for a while. I don't know if you've seen the big flail thing. Like it wasn't good because it left the hedge like somebody chopped it with a blunt hatchet. But no, there's a lot of work done. We worked hard with tree cutters, because then there's over 100 of them. I think about 120 a day out cutting there. So we work very hard that they make sure that they contact the right landowner, first of all, and do what the landowner wants, what way they want the trees left or the hedges left, etc. Sometimes it would go a bit further than they'd have to, but anything to get the trees cut.
If you leave us the poles, would be delighted.
That's a whole issue regarding the environmental issues. And
oh no, leave the poles. Leave the old poles.
Well, normally I'm not saying this officially, but normally they don't come back to the yard. They don't come back to the yard. But on the environmental, certainly you have to how you recycle poles.
For the benefit of the TFP, he was joking.
Of course, sure. All is on.
The thing about the ICPs, this is the big thing about that sort of gives you that option. If you have got a supply in the past which you thought it too expensive for an egg farm, it has been too far away from the existing overhead line, this gives you the option where you can go and approach an ICP and say, look, I've got this price from NIE, what can you do for me, or how can you help me this? Mm-hmm. That's because some of them are quite expensive. We have advised sometimes customers, if there's a couple of different customers in the area, is to get some sort of like a shared scheme going. If you have an out farm or there's someone else beside you, that you can get some sort of shared scheme going where you'll benefit and your neighbour will benefit from you. But the other thing to remember at the moment, currently in Northern Ireland, if you build an electricity supply to a domestic house, inside 5 years, if someone connects to that line that you paid for, you're entitled to a refund. Doesn't apply to a commercial customer. But if you build a line to a new house, domestic house, and it costs you £20,000, that needs 10 poles built. If I come in and build a house somewhere on that line, I have to, you'll not get it from the customer, you'll get it from NIE, because that will be added on to the price of the second customer coming in, and you'll get a refund. So we would pay out refunds every day, every week, to customers that are entitled to a refund within the last 5 years. But that's done automatically for the customer. We don't expect, if you built, you'll never know until you get a check to the door from us to say you're entitled to a refund, and this is your refund from Northern Networks.
I was just trying to get there, thinking, because I was aware of somebody, I haven't heard that recently, but a couple of years ago, people were saying, would you believe, so they were looking at 40,000 of them.
Oh.
And, it's a quarter of the price of a house.
Yes.
So I wonder, had that fallen considerably, and that's what I was interested in.
No, the prices haven't fallen.
You don't want the competition.
Well, this is where, it gives someone like that the opportunity to test out the ICPs, and just to get to see what they...
There's no evidence yet of it, really.
Not yet. Well, it's only going live on the 28th. But from the 28th onward, if someone or yourself or someone else who's got a quote maybe 2 or 3 years ago, certainly come back in again, because that's the other thing. Mm. NIE doesn't, there's no expense on the customer to get a quote. The quote's free. Mm-hmm. You get a free quote. You can come in and ask for the quote. And then, as I said previously, that quote will be split in two. Us doing all the work, or us just doing a part of the work to get it connected to the network. Mm. And then that gives, we'll actually give you a drawing and a design and tell you exactly what we're doing. then so it leaves up the customer the choice then if he wants to check out with an ICP or stay with NIA.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
councillors, I think that is everyone. You had a bit of an easy time this because everybody has been out pretty much the entire day, so I think they were all beginning to get a bit tired. They were all slagging. Okay, councillors, on behalf of everybody, Francis and Christine, thank you for giving up your time. It was very informative, and I wish everybody a safe journey home.